Wake up, motherfucker. Oh, fuck. That was some good Foley. Jesus.
Hello and welcome to Bruce Day Tuesday podcast episode 655. And here's a man who is attested to be mad narsty. It's Tyler Dryblatt.
I've been real narsty, Santa. Hey, everybody. We've got, some stuff beer related to talk about, I guess. I picked the articles not 3 minutes ago and I've immediately forgot what they are already. So I'll be just as surprised as you, listener. And so will Zach. Hi, Zach.
What's up?
I don't know. I feel very scattered. I feel very scattered today. My hosting senses are not tingling.
You know, you can't be 100% every day, you know?
I can't be 100% most days. What that looks like water. Hopefully you've brought some other beverage here.
Oh, well, shit. We
know that Zach has something interesting to bring.
Oh, yeah, right. It's Smooge week.
It's Smooge week. It's Smoogemas.
Hashtag Smooge get smooged.
It's Smeeps week. I've got Smooge here today. I've got strawberry banana Smooge.
This podcast just got a whole lot smoogier.
Oh, my God, yeah. The Smooge operator, it's 5% ABV. Okay, shot. So 12 ounces. This thing has 240 fucking calories. This shit is loaded to a pack of Smooge is 1,000 calories. This shit is dense.
Man, I ate a bag of corn nuts the other day. And it was the first time I had corn nuts in probably this millennium, and I was like, man, these are good. Why don't I eat these all the time? And then I looked and I was like, oh, I just ate 800 calories of corn
nuts. That's how I feel whenever I have Fritos. I'm like, oh, God, I love Fritos. And then 15 minutes later, I'm like, oh, the heartburn, the terrible heartburn.
I watched something where some survival show that the guy was like, I always keep Fritos in my bag because they're like amazing tinder because they're so oily. Yeah. And I was like, they can't be that oily. Crumbled them up, and then they fucking burned like blue. It was like he was burning like copper or something. It was crazy.
We did an experiment in my high school chemistry class to see, you know, like which foods had the highest energy potential. And yeah, man, like Fritos and like wavy lays go off like a torch.
Oh yeah, total grease bomb.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. So the Smooge poured out bubblegum pink and cloudy. There's light carbonation in here that I can see. I'm watching bubbles fight their way to the surface like shipwreck victims. I'm scared of the bubbles, to be honest. That's the only part of this that's really frightening me. It's completely opaque, as one would hope. Smells like strawberry banana, Yoplait yogurt. I think I actually like that. I think I might like Smooge. I think they might have gotten me all the way. I think they might have all the way 180'd me.
Well, then explain because the grimace. We both saw initial, that grimace.
Yeah.
I had to. The carbonation is a little upsetting to me. I don't know that everyone would feel this way, but I don't enjoy it. It has a yogurty, not yogurt. It's like a very thin, like dairy texture to it. But like the bubbles happen just enough where like you feel them in your mouth, and I was like, I don't know, this is what I wanted all the way. But it does taste pretty much like a smoothie, which with I assume just some like, you know, pure ethanol in it to make it 5% ABV and have no effect on the taste. Could be worse. I was expecting it to be a lot worse.
Okay. All right, Smooge. I don't have anything nearly as exciting. I have, what is this? Dab Maibock. It is a 7%. It is it had a medium head that's now gone. It's fairly clear. It's a kind of a, you know, dark yellowy. It smells kind of weedy. Oh, it doesn't taste weedy though. It tastes bocky in that way that I don't like.
Soy sauce.
Yeah, soy sauce. Now this isn't like a doppelbock. Like this isn't the worst thing I've ever had in my life. But it's soy saucy up front and then it fades into something more tolerable. But I just don't like that soy sauce flavor you
soy sauce up front, party in the back.
I guess it's not for me. It's not for me. Samuel?
Yeah, I have Drekker's Lizard People Double IPA. I looked at the can for a bit. I was like, you probably have more to say. And the can was like, shut up, you. And I was like, all right, damn. Okay. So this is just a double IPA. That is fine.
Sick, brother. Okay. Well, Zach, whenever you're on, we have to have one of two articles. Either we've made some sort of dumbass beer or something going on with BrewDog. And today it's BrewDog. So our first article, BBC.com, Scottish craft beer brand BrewDog put up for sale.
I was so over the moon to see this for a Zach episode.
Very happy. I don't know that they're actually being put up for sale, though the article is a little confusing to me. What I can tell you is that Alex Partners, which is some sort of consulting brand, has been brought in to oversee some sort of process that could lead to sale or parts of the business being broken up. But they don't really necessarily say that they're like seeking buyers. I don't know. Maybe it's just a lot of business speak. I'm not really sure.
Well, it's weird because like in the States, it would be like, They're doing some sort of chapter of bankruptcy and they're reorienting and yada yada.
Yeah.
And they'll be back from the dead once they, I don't know, sell their souls to the devil or whatever. But in Europe, I don't think that's how any of it works.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't, but also like, I don't really want anyone to bail them out.
No, me neither. I do love the idea of like the fucking keep it radical crowd selling out, you know? These guys fucking suck.
Man, so fuck the establishment, but also please help.
Please give us money. Something else I like about this is so it talks about the guys who created BrewDog, James Watt and Martin Dickey. Apparently, Martin Dickey has already bailed on the ship. So good job, Dickey. He left last year. It says that Watt, quote, later stood down as chief executive officer and moved to a newly created position of captain and co-founder. So fucking lame.
What a captain, fucking dweeb.
I'm the captain of BrewDog. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they called in, like business consultants, and they're exploring the next step of the business and investors, and that just feels like they're gonna like start chopping it up and selling pieces of it.
Yeah,
I was shocked actually in the article that of the locations they closed their like flagship bar. I was like, that's weird. I feel like that would be the last one. Like that'd be the last one to go.
You'd think, right?
I would think. For me personally, it would be
unless it was just a real fucking money pit.
I mean, how did you fuck it up that bad? That thing was such a not money pit originally. They got you to build a bunch of other bars and stuff. It's just like, what the fuck's going on? You think they're not drinking in Scotland anymore? Because I can tell you, having been there lately, they're still turning up in Scotland big time.
I think maybe it was the fact that they would put too many people in there and then get the toilets all clogged and then not let anybody leave because you're actually in a plane. I think that was probably their issue.
No, I actually heard they got in trouble for employing little kids to kind of stomp through the toilet clogs. their feet could get into the pipes, so they were actually just using them for that.
Yeah,
they got in trouble
because
they weren't paying them a living wage.
Actually, speaking of that, I guess one of the things BrewDog was kind of like known for is they paid staff on the real living wage, but as of 2024, they stopped and they went to the lower legal minimum wage. You know, as punks do, as punks do.
Super lame. Super lame.
Yeah. So, really just very excited whenever anything bad happens to BrewDog. Really enjoy it.
Another L for BrewDog.
Yeah.
This is going to be a tough thing to be in a business of, like, you are obviously failing. Like, you're clearly circling the drain, like, the parent. But you have to, like, keep pretending that you're not about to completely fail so that investors don't get, like, totally spooked. But it's, like, in a perfect world where none of this exists, you just go, shit, and you'd close, like, 20 bars of your, like, 60, fire, like, 300 people and be like, that's our bad, we expanded too fast, and now we need to contract again. And then you kind of just do that, and now it's like, they're like, oh, well, who knows, we're going to explore a lot of options or whatever. And it's like, dude, just who's going to be like, oh, you're right, I got to buy into BrewDog right now. I bet it's going to just shoot up to the moon from here.
Yeah, who is the investor that's like, I think BrewDog is on its way up?
Asahi yeah. Beverage Brands. They're getting on anything.
Yes, you're not wrong. I think it's probably more, you know, like their assets or whatever. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be making BrewDog if this gets split up. I think people will be, like, taking over their distribution real estate or, yeah, brewing capacity or whatever.
I don't even know how much they have in terms of, like, shit to sell off for parts. Like, their parts. Distribution, sure, but, like, no one cares about their recipes. I'm not sure anyone cares that much about their, like, brewing capacity.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. Weirdly, I'm not up on the Scottish business side of the news.
Weird.
I don't know how patriotic any of the three of us are, but we can all celebrate these guys being like, oh, we fucked up. We're going under. And we can all kind of Nelson Munt style point and say, ha ha.
Becca and I were watching the movie Patriot Games the other night. Have you ever seen that? Harrison Ford?
A long time.
Yeah. So the plot of the movie is like he stops like an IRA attack. And then they're out to get him. And the whole movie, I was just like, well, yeah, he probably should have just let the IRA done what they were trying to do. Like, what an asshole. I just kept rooting for the IRA.
Now, the absolute best one of those is Rocky Rambo 3.
Or, yeah, Rambo 3, dedicated to the brave Mujahideen fighters of Afghanistan. Yeah,
for yes, sure. Where he personally arms the Taliban to fight the Russians and then rides into battle on horseback with presumably Osama bin Laden somewhere in there.
So good.
It's just like, okay, I can see how this kind of got out of hand. That's the best. We watched Stargate yesterday. And that fucking rules. That movie still kicks ass.
If you were on The Price is Right tomorrow and you, the big payout was you get a bunch of money, but you have to give it to, call it a regime.
Okay.
What regime would you give the money to?
Ooh, that's tough. That's pretty tough. Who's like a harmless regime? Is there like a... Not too bad.
Regime. My thought was Hong Kong.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Hong Kong's not a thing anymore.
Right to China. Yeah, it's just right to China, straight to China.
So, like, let's see.
I was thinking like Hong Kong in an anti-China way. Is that done? Is it too late?
Yeah. No, they're done. Yeah, they're done.
Well, then
give it back. That was a mistake.
How about Taiwan in an anti-China way? Am I also too late for that vote?
Almost. No, that's a good one. So Taiwan, I guess. I don't know if I'd say regime, but that could be an okay government. I mean, if we're going to call Taiwan a regime, you give it to Ukraine, I guess, would be like a pretty...
Oh, yeah.
I could live with it. But if I had to go regime, answer. I would go military, because I'm pretty sure there's kind of like a, I would say a full-on regime in Thailand. I feel like nothing terrible. Just a bunch of expats being annoying in Thailand. But like, if I had to do like full regime, I think that's who I'd go to like minimize some harm.
So wait, we're just, I think I missed part of this. We're just giving the money or are you moving there?
No, we're doing regime change. We're nation building.
You had to give money to a regime.
Help me nation build.
The Republic of Sealand.
Oh, that's two guys or whatever, those weirdos.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I think they would really benefit from the like pack of gum you could afford to give them.
Okay.
He'd win prizes right though. He's getting winnings, and I think in this scenario there's a windfall on the way.
I just think those guys could do more with it than like Thailand could. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know if I have as much faith in them as you do.
I'm not saying they could do more positive things. They just mean more in general.
It's just a bunch of shit. Yeah, that's fair. Just, go all the way there.
How many pots can they stir?
Yeah.
One or two.
The one guy is already like shooting at British Navy vessels with a hunting rifle. He's fucking bonkers. Imagine what he could do with $1 million. That'd be wild.
It's just wild to think of like if someone decided that it was their job to neutralize that threat, it would cost $45 and he'd be dead and no one would care. Like, does he know
he's not worth the drone? He's not worth the drone to blow him up. Like, it's just like, well, that's like
you guys,
$30,000.
You guys clearly aren't up on your Sealand lore. There was already a foiled coup. You guys don't even know what's going on in Sealand.
An internal plot in Sealand?
Yeah, so he was like giving out citizenship to people who would give him money, and some dude like gave him money and came out to see it. And then, like, staged a coup. And so he, like, hired a helicopter full of mercenaries to, like, come back and take back Sealand. It's badass.
I would love to be one of those mercenaries. That's probably, like, the best job they've ever had.
Yeah.
I'd do that mission. That feels like a level one mercenary mission. Like, if you had to, like, train the mercenaries and just sort of, like, here's how you land a helicopter and, like, you know, here's how you like just like position yourselves. It's like the perfect mercenary training mission. Like, we're gonna go shoot a guy in a golf shirt, who's not in the rank, and he has no real weapons or anything.
Like the new Call of Duty tutorial mission.
Correct. Yeah, if you're on easy mode, that would be the mission that you would go on. That'd be sweet.
Oh boy. Well, that was fun. That was all about BrewDog, right? All of that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that feels correct.
Okay.
Who's got stuff going on? Anybody got anything?
Yo, hit me up.
What you got? I'm tagging you in. Oh, no. Okay. Well, it's better than many, so I shouldn't say, oh, no.
I got to get it out of the way early, so you don't look for me early later. So this is part... Oh no, part six. Wow, we're still pretty early in here. Part six of my 100 part series from the book that I got for Christmas a while ago of Beer Hacks, 100 Tips, Tricks, and Projects. We're in the still in the definitions chapter.
Beer Hacks.
This is number six, The Beached Whale. And let me read it to you now. People are most likely to spot a beached whale the morning after a long night of enjoying wonderful beers. When they head to the fridge to make the hash browns they so desperately need, and find an amazing bottle, generally a large bomber, sitting in the fridge, horrifically half finished. Even worse is when it's on the table and warm beyond repair in addition to just flat. So I think this item is just, what if there was a big beer and you forgot to drink it and it's also in your house?
I missed it. What's it called?
The Beached Whale.
Yeah, just an opened beer, like a half full beer.
That's so funny. I love this book because of how lazy it is. Because I think two ago we had just whale, and they were like, "Fuck, we got 100 of these." Whale.
I don't think whale was. Immediately, I'm cupped. Number three was whale.
Yeah, thank you.
Number three was whale. Number six was beached whale. And those are completely separate concepts, according to this book.
They should have spread those out a little bit more.
They're whale, beached whale, the whalers.
Free whale. Yeah. Whalers.
So there's only two more of these like bullshit definitions before the next chapter comes.
So
we'll see if those are interesting, because so far, nah.
I like that for the one, they were like, if you left it out, it's impossible to cool it down now. It's impossibly hot. And I was like, if it's already hot, you might as well just throw it in the fridge for an hour. Like, who cares? Like, it's already hot. You at least make it, like, the one thing you can fix is the temperature. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to drink the one that's flat but in the fridge. Like, the fact that it's cold doesn't help at all.
It's just like, look, we can't fix this thing at all. It's hot. Yeah. I will drink flat beers out of the fridge that I left from the night before, 100%.
Good for you.
We have silicone tops such that you can put it's like a lid for a can.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
And if you are, I don't mean to speak for myself necessarily, but if you are a woman who weighs 111 pounds and can't drink a beer or else she'll die, I really don't mean to point any fingers, but if you're that type of person, it's a good product to own.
Sweet. I'll take it.
Yes.
Yeah, I just lose track of them. I just kind of put them down, and I forget about it, and I go to bed. And I wake up the next morning, and I'm like, ah, fuck.
Talking about kids.
Thank God. Thank God I don't have any kids. I would 100% forget to do something very, very important. I left my coffee somewhere in the house twice this morning. And I found it twice, and it had coffee in it still. And I was like, hell yeah. And I just drank some, and I guess wandered off. It's just like, yeah, I don't know that I'm really, I think a kid would probably die.
Someone in a committed relationship with no kids, do you ever think that you might want to contribute to the village? Like, it takes a village to raise a child. You ever want to just pitch in?
Get other people's kids in the mix? Yeah, no, that's even less so than...
So, like, if I was like, do you want to watch my kid and I'm not going to give you any money, you would be like, nah.
I think if this was, like, an emergency, I would do it for you because you're my friend. And if this was just, like, would you want to just do it? Absolutely not. That'd be a strong and firm no. And, again, if there was an emergency where you needed to do that, I would 100% do it for you.
Man, when my third kid was born, I was texting Lars Gern, friend of the show, to be like, hey, can you watch this kid? My kids, can you come to my house to watch my kids? Because my child was being born, and it was faster for my in-laws to come up from Chicago than to get Lars to be like, yeah, I got you, dog.
Oh, my God.
So, eventually, they just came up, and I just, like, tagged them into, my kids are asleep, but I have to go to the hospital now. Goodbye.
Yeah, 100%.
But, like, at some point, help a brother out, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lars. Get it together. I like this because I can so rarely criticize Lars Gerns. So
I mean, she has two foster kids in the house now.
I'm aware of this.
That was not the case at this time. This was 18 months ago, but she's doing good work.
Yeah, man. No, the only thing I think about is, like, maybe the world would benefit from my genes continuing a little bit, like, in some sort of super child. But other than that, like, that's, like, really the only temptation, I think, is, like, some form of vanity.
Yeah, for sure.
Sight unseen, how many dollars would I need to give you to be like, come to my house, eat the food of my home, take care of my dogs, me and Emily have to go. The babies are in bed. They're not your problem.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, in an emergency situation, $0. In another situation, to just come over randomly to drive like the 25 minutes to your house to sit in your house while your kids are asleep and pray that they don't wake up. Otherwise, I have a really awkward conversation ahead of me. What should you have to pay me to get me to do that? I mean, I'd probably do it for like... Where I would definitely wouldn't say no would be like $200. That's like a firm 100%.
That's so much, dude. We have Netflix and everything, dog. You're killing me.
It's not that I wouldn't do it for less. It's that was an amount where I was like, regardless of what I was doing, even if I was having a great time at my house, I would still go. If you were like $70, I'd be like, what if I were having a blast at my house? I'd probably be like, nah, I'm good. What if I was really high? That's also the thing. If you randomly call me without any notice on a weekend day, I might be like too high to come over to your house and watch your kids or anyone's kids.
So that's interesting, though. What if a week in advance I'm like, "Hey, I'm in the doghouse. You gotta help me out here, homie. You gotta be out here watching my children so I can take my wife out on a date." What do I owe you?
I mean, this is a pretty big bro favor. And this is during dinner time, so they're awake here. And this one, I got at least some conscious children for a while. And I got to get the bedtime routine down.
Zach is nicer than me because I would, like, the only time I would go over is in an emergency. Like, if it's in a non-emergency, do not bother calling me because there's no amount of money you could pay me to come over and do this. You know, like, yeah.
Man,
find somebody else. Find a better friend to do this for you. In a non-
I'm trying to, so Tyler. Guilty. Can you shut up? I'm talking to my better friend currently.
I would feel so guilty taking any money from you. Like, it reflects so poorly on me to, like, not do this as a favor, but to be employed. Like, I wouldn't be able to tell anybody that you paid me. I'd be like, I had to keep it a secret that you gave me, like, $60 to go to your house and watch your kids so you could go on a date. I'd be like, yeah, of course, I went over. He's my friend. I went over there, no problem.
Why are you trying to steal babysitting jobs, Zach? There are 13-year-old girls out there who need.
Yeah, wait, aren't there children in your neighborhood to watch your kids?
Dude, constantly in my the Nextdoor app is constantly like, "Hi, I'm 14 and I would like to watch your children." And I'm like, "Shut up, pervert."
Yeah, this whole perv wants to hang out with my kids. Yeah, it's so weird that, like, my babysitter when I was, like, 6 or 7 was, like, 15. Like,
yeah. Same.
They're like, it's a girl kid. They're probably fine. And it's like, she was pretty responsible. It worked out great.
It does seem odd that, like, in a time before cell phones, they were just like, this one minor can watch another minor. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. And as a kid, I was like, oh, she's an adult. Like, I fully believed an adult was over at my house. Like,
yeah.
I had no fucking idea what was going on. Like, 15-year-olds do not look like adults. They do not look like adults.
Brett Ratner. I'm right there with you, Zach.
Brett.
Man, you know who's come out of the Epstein files looking great is the Unabomber.
I didn't realize the Unabomber was in them. I didn't hear this part.
Oh, he's not. He just, back in the day when he was bombing people, he, like, sent bombs to, I think, two people who have now showed up in the Epstein files. So it's like...
maybe a time traveler.
He knew what was going down.
Damn, Ted.
I will say I've watched enough television where there are, like, bad people. Where I'm like, oh man, I feel like it's a cheat code that I haven't done infidelity. I didn't do it, so now I'm not in trouble for doing it.
What?
And so, like, the next level of it is, I'm not in the Epstein files because I haven't done anything Epstein files worthy. So it's not something I have to stress about.
You like there being a global problem that you know can't affect you in any way?
Exactly. This is a big issue, but I'm not the bad guy here, so I can't get in trouble.
This is like COVID for rich people. This is like COVID for rich and powerful people, where they're like, oh, fuck, and they gotta, like, be careful when they go to the grocery store because they might pop out in the Epstein files. They can't touch all the shelves like they like.
And I'm smooth as a baby's bottom. I didn't do nothing wrong for nobody.
I'm so confused by this, Samuel. So when you heard about, like, when it was like Kony 2012, were you like, fuck, I'm so glad I'm not out there kidnapping little African kids. Like, this is so good for me.
No, because I was not yet that evolved.
Because he donated a lot to Kony 2012.
It's really, like, every time... and this is probably, like, a problem with my psychology. Every time I'm watching television and anyone does any sort of, like, infidelity, I'm like, oh, man, am I going to get in trouble? And then I have to remember, no, wait, I didn't do anything wrong. So I'm okay.
I didn't do that.
And so just,
I don't understand.
Just the, like, the fact that, like, the release that I get from not being in trouble for not doing anything wrong because I didn't do anything wrong is huge.
You should talk to somebody other than me about this.
We have really good insurance. You definitely should talk to somebody about that. That's crazy. I love that in your mind, you're like always on the razor's edge of committing infidelity, maybe. And I fall out, and I go to the house of my bathrobe, who knows what could happen? Like, you gotta get me back inside, woman. You can't let me out there.
Anytime I'm watching TV and someone cheats on somebody, I'm like, man, that seems really stressful. And I get stressed out, and then I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't cheat on her. Hell yeah. And then I high-five myself because I didn't do anything wrong. Part.
That's the craziest part of it all. Because watching something and feeling, like, sympathetically stressed out, I think is totally reasonable. Like, if someone really embarrasses themselves in a social situation in a movie or show, I feel stressed out and embarrassed. I need to walk away for a little bit. Yep. But I don't ever go, oh, I didn't? Hell yeah. And, like, high-five myself. Like, I just kind of slowly calm down as more stuff happens.
Thank you for dialing in on what exactly is the weird part about this, Zach, because it's rustled my jimmies to no end, but I can't say exactly for why.
I'm beginning to think that maybe we should move on to a different topic because I might have exposed myself as a fucking weirdo.
So odd.
He's got an OCD fear of cheating on his wife.
I didn't do nothing.
Oh, God. Okay, from FoxNews.com. Mystery solved. 150-year-old alcohol found in Utah may not be beer after all. So this is – I was trying to check off both for you, Zach. But this is
hell yeah. We got an old archaeology drink.
Yeah. Now, thank God nobody's trying to, like, recreate this or anything. But there was some sort of archaeological dig in Alta, Utah. A once booming mining town, apparently, and they found a sealed bottle. They thought it was beer, but they've brought it to a High West Distillery in Park City. I don't know why. And there, the experts tasted it, actually. And then they were like, we don't know what the fuck this is. I don't know why we put it in our mouths. And they did some, like, some actual tests, and they were like, we think this wasn't beer, but apple cider.
Nice. Why? That's great.
I don't know why, Samuel. I think because based on the test, there are some chemical signatures of things that we would expect from like apples in here. But I don't know. I do like this article kind of. Like, they found this thing. They were like, who should we give this to? I don't know. I guess some random fuckers at a brewery. And then those people were like, should we crack open this 150-year-old sludge? Absolutely we should. Like, good for having the balls to do that. Even though it was super dumb and didn't accomplish anything, at least they had the balls to do it.
I love that they wrote in that they were like, we tried it. The guy was like, it tasted bad. A little fruity, but bad. And then, like, we don't know what it is. And, like, just including that is so great because it's so irresponsible. Like, you have to send some amount to a lab is how you figure out what it is. If you drink it, you can't send it to the lab. And you're not going to be able to fucking tell what it is because it's 150-year-old sludge. It's literally just decomposed organic matter at this point with some alcohol in it. Like,
my favorite part of that thing that you read there, Zach, is when it was like, yeah, it definitely tasted aged. Yeah, man, it's been sealed in a bottle for 150 years. It probably has some aging going on. I don't know.
It's aged.
Thank God we had these Cicerones try this for us. They could really let us know the deal.
But
they're probably just trying not to get dropped into the Epstein files. It's aged. It's aged, so it couldn't possibly.
It's way too old.
When you hear an article like this, are you like, oh, thank God I didn't lose a beer for 150 years?
Bro, dog, like, is that kinda. Your
thought? Or...
Oh, my God. You're like, I left old beers in the closet of my old apartment 3 apartments ago. There's a
Oh, man, the last apartment, I definitely let an explosion happen and knew that I was not going to get my deposit back and still got my deposit back. I still don't know why.
You're just like, eh, fuck it.
Because I tried to clean some stuff with some bleach and put some bleach in a hallway that didn't deserve bleach. and I still got the money back, so I'm not questioning that.
That's right.
Oh, no, that's such a guy move, too. You're just like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to use for this. I'll just probably pour bleach on it and see. That'll help, I'm sure. Oh, it bleached the hallway. Fuck, that's why they call it that. Oh,
everything looks weird now, huh?
Oh, shit. Well, we were talking earlier today, and Holly was like, how often did you clean the gasket in the sink at your old apartment? And I was like, the what? And she was like, the gasket in the sink. You're supposed to clean it. I was like, what? No, you move. You just move. You put shit down the sink, and then you move. What are you talking about? Sounds like my landlord's problem. Like, we live here now in a house, though. I'm like, ah, shit. Somebody's got to take care of that. I can't just cram apple peels down my sink and forget about it.
Yeah, I found that when you own a place, giving the finger to your sink doesn't really hit the same way. No. As when you were renting it?
I like Sam talking about this as I can see a hole in his ceiling in the shot.
You throw an Xbox controller? What'd you do?
No, that's from 5 or 6 years ago. We can talk about it if you want to, but it's not that interesting.
That's super mad about the Epstein files. No, He's hearing about it again.
I just like Sam being like, yeah, you really got to take care of your house, man. And there's just like a gaping hole.
Hey, if you can't let it fall into disrepair, the fucking tile falls behind him.
It was the Home Depot's fault, and I'm still mad at the Home Depot about it.
Take that, Home Depot.
Eat shit,
Home Depot. Yeah, I love that you got me both a BrewDog article and an archaeological alcohol. This one isn't as dumb as the yeast from like Churchill's chair or whatever, whoever that was. That was the weirdest one. Roald Dahl,
I believe.
Roald Dahl. Ah, that's right. It makes even less sense than it'd be Roald Dahl. Like, famously not like anyone. What? Why the fuck did they make that? But this is great. I want to combine the people who just drank this and were like, huh, gross, and with the Roald Dahl yeast people. I want them to, like, form a colony on some oil rig, and then they can, like, make that work.
Like, they should make a religion of, like, we're all dipshits.
You know, a lot of things are impossible to know, is, like, their whole thing. Like, isn't I don't, that, no one could know
isn't
that.
Isn't that Catholicism?
Got him! Pew, pew, pew! Take that. Yeah, that's great. Catholicism says, no, we know. You guys don't, but we do. They're like, fuck, man, I don't know, dude. Like, how does orange juice get into the cartons and into us?
No one's really never, sure.
No one knows.
Cannot ask it.
About to ask Roald Dahl's chair. You know,
have you guys ever heard of cargo cults? They're the funniest religions. They're kind of tragic, but kind of funny. You heard of these?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? So, Sam, back in, like, World War II, when we were building, like, airstrips on all these, like, barely inhabited islands, some of the folks living on those islands who previously had basically been uncontacted started to, like, worship the planes, like, the Air Force that would land there, because they would, like... You know, the planes would, like, land on the airfield and, like, give them food and stuff like that and then take off. And
but that's then a huge bummer. War.
Yeah, and then the war ended and, like, the airfields got abandoned and they would start, like, building, like, a replica, like, airplanes out of, like, reeds and grasses and stuff to try to, like, summon the airplane gods back. Really whack.
Yeah, that's bad.
It's kind of cool, though. I don't know. It's, like, an interesting – I mean, not cool, I guess – but, it's like, interesting insight into, like, how religion can develop, you know?
I mean, they basically got contacted by aliens. They were probably like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah. Like, yeah.
That must have been crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, we're in an alien war right now. Just, we're going to use this for a bit. Here, have some stuff.
There's one, and I don't know if it's still going on, but there was one, and it was dedicated to just this one pilot. Like, just this one guy who happened to land on this island, like, a couple times. And, like, they were just, like, straight up... Yeah, they were just, like, worshipping this guy.
Ugh. Yeah. That's gotta be weird.
No, thank
you.
So interesting.
So interesting. Okay, well, Sam, if you're not... you already did a thing. So, I guess, Zach, if you're not being worshipped as a god, what are you up to?
It's been forever, I think, since I've been on. So I think the cruise I went on is technically between airings here. So I have an actual good thing. And I think the big thing with the cruise is my in-laws were all there, and we had a delightful time. So this was good. This was big for us. Thing that I will still stick with me from the cruise is my brother-in-law was in a hot tub by the pool, like, all day long. Like, I don't think we were talking afterwards, and we were like,
is this the boy who peed his pants?
It is. And that's the fascinating thing, is he's got a bladder the size of a golf ball. So he was in there for like 4 hours, and I lean over to my father-in-law, and I was like, he's definitely peeing in there. He's peeing in there a bunch. They're like, how has he not gotten out? I was like, yeah, he's peeing in there a ton. And I walk up to him, and I'm like, hey, man, how many times have you peed in here? And he was just like, seven times. times. And the hot tub is only like 8 feet across. Like, this thing had to be significantly his pee by the time he got out. And I was just like, this dude is an animal. He rules. He's so funny. But he, with zero shame or hesitation, was like, oh, like 7 or 8 times. Like, so much.
Like, that's wild. I've never been on a cruise and been over 21.
It rules.
Yeah. It sounds
great. We paid extra for the drink package, so I didn't have to think about what we were buying. Drank a bunch of drinks by the pool. Then a martini bar that we went to. That was sick. I do realize I don't like martinis, like, at all.
Yeah, they're gross.
At the martini bar, I was just like, I knew I didn't like them because I was pretty drunk when we went, and then I got a martini and I was like, whoa, ugh. And I was like, I've already had like three drinks. I really should be able to just walk through this. And I could not. It was a strong beverage. So that was good. The other thing, we went to Key West. And I hadn't been in Key West since I had a job. And it lost a little something. Some of the shine on Key West was, as I have climbed the economic ladder, I went back and I was like, ugh. It was like when you see a bunch of crabs like scuttling over like a shipwreck. I was just like, oh my God, like everyone's living here. Like,
you got
this?
Yucked out by the pores.
I did get yucked out by the pores. It was like a floating trailer park. And what's cool about it is like, what's insane about it is like people just go there with no plan. They just show up. They're like, we were sailing around the coast and we just landed here and never left. And it's like the most 1980s bullshit ever, because like they're functional people still. Like, they were able to find a job and like buy a house. They're like, we just landed here with nothing and we just started working at the dock and now we're here. And I was like, first of all, what the fuck were you doing? Like, who just does that? Like, what about all your shit and wherever you were from? What about your house plants? Yeah, it just calls to people. It just calls to a certain type of people from, you know, like Northern Florida. And Southern Virginia, and they just come down and they just settle. They just fucking settle. They're like, one guy we talked to, literally, I was like, okay, well, what brought you here? And he was like, I just love Jimmy Buffett. That's right. You don't even just fucking live here. Like, he's fucking around. Like, can you imagine being so naive that you hear a song and you're like, that place must be cool, and then you move there? Kokomo's not fucking real. Beach Boys made that shit up. Like, it's a song. What are you talking about?
That shit makes me think about the weird subclass of human beings. I don't really have a retirement strategy. I'm just going to keep going on cruises until I'm dead.
Sounds like a good retirement strategy. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. That's kind of expensive. I like that.
I'd have to see the breakdown of costs, I guess. Like, I guess, because, like, I mean, you're paying, like, a couple $100 a day on, like, a decent cruise line. It's, like, there's no way that, like, you couldn't find rent in, like, West Virginia for, like, cheaper than that.
But, like, my children will obviously disappoint me.
Yep.
So, maybe it's just better for me if I sail out of Tampa and eat the same bullshit scrambled eggs for a while until I'm dead.
So I think I would hope, I guess, with the job and the career that you will have had, that you could get a slightly nicer cruise line. But you probably could. There are people we talked to who are just like back to back to back cruising. And I was like, after like 3 days, I was like, maybe I could do that. And then we had one night where it was stormy and the boat was like moving around. And I was like, I gotta get the fuck off this thing. What I like about being in a hotel instead of a big dumb boat is that the hotel doesn't move around all day long. So I think we might as well just go to stay in all inclusive.
Is the nice thing about if the choppy waters is if it makes me be dead, then I get to be dead.
Sam, wow. Something broke in your brain about 34 minutes into this podcast. And
deranged,
you're like,
today.
Sometimes I think I've done adultery. Maybe I'll die on a cruise ship. What is going on over there?
I didn't cheat on nobody. Check. But also, if I die soon, then I didn't do it.
You know, I'm pretty sure on international waters it doesn't count.
Speaking of people who cheated on people, I gotta cut you off. You guys been paying attention to the Olympics and that fucking Norwegian biathlete or whatever?
Fuck
who
yeah.
Was like, I won this bronze medal, but also I cheated on my fiance.
That
or
was
whatever.
Quite strange, and I never really understood what was happening with that. Can you illuminate that?
That's exactly what happened. So he was engaged to somebody and like had cheated on them like a while back. And then they weren't engaged. I thought they were engaged.
He met her 6 months ago.
Yeah. They'd been together for like 6 months and he cheated on her like 3 months into it. And then he told her a week before he was going to compete in the Olympics, which just seems like bad timing.
But he told us.
And then he won a medal, and during the like medal ceremony interview, he was like, I can't even enjoy this medal because I cheated on my girlfriend and I just want her back. And it's like, bro, that's the cringiest thing. Like,
dude, to hook up somebody really, in the Olympic Village.
Yeah, it's really pathetic. Like, it doesn't make you look cool. You're taking like time away from everybody else who just won a medal. It's just lame as hell.
Yeah, that's just what a weird thing to just have happen. I like that that happened because it's so strange.
It is strange. I don't know. If he was like a, I don't know, like he just, yeah, like you said, like he just won a medal. Just go bang some Olympic groupies in Olympic Village or whatever and get over mm-hmm. it and not be like some sort of soy boy beta cuck on international television.
So if you're only dating for 6 months, I think you need to just move on. Like you, first of all, you cheated so soon. You cheated on her so soon into the relationship. Like, dude, you clearly didn't care. Like, just move on. Be broken up, and like, you get 1 week to be sad about it. I think you get 1 week per 6 months that you were together.
And why did he choose his 1 week to be when he's competing at the highest level he will ever be competing in his life?
Yeah, do it right away, or not at all. Maybe never at all. Sometimes people can do that. They just never feel bad the whole time.
I can't imagine being this woman that's like, okay, fuck me, I guess. I didn't do anything wrong.
You know, she's getting a news interview right now.
Yeah, now she's got to deal with this nonsense. Like, she's got to be like, yeah, I dated this total fuck-ass for 6 months. Like, oh, God. What a douche nuts.
Yeah, that guy sucks. He probably will move to Key West at some point. Statistically, no, it's Key West. It ruled because it was shitty, but it was like if New Orleans was only Bourbon Street and it were a little shittier than it is. Like, and there was no jazz music anywhere. It was just drunk people in jorts walking around.
Yeah.
So we went to an awesome dive bar. Like, we went to a dive bar that has like fucking dollar bills taped all over everything. It was sick. We walked in there. It was sick. They had like a bluegrass duet playing, and they were decent, and the sound quality was actually very good. It was the best mixing in a bar I've ever heard. If only they could mix their drinks like they mixed their audio.
got them.
But it was super fun. That place was great. But yeah, like, holy fuck, I just couldn't believe the people just showing up like a wish in their pocket.
Yeah, I felt the same way when I went back to where I had lived in California, because like when I was there, like, yeah, it was like, you know, like a little like seedy, but like it was a place where people just like smoked mad weed and kind of like chilled out and had very hippie. And then I went back and it was just like dogs like running around the streets, you know, like unleashed dogs everywhere. And I was just like, Jesus Christ, what is happening?
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was real whack.
You think you just never noticed the dogs, or do you think that's a change? Like, that's a change.
No, it definitely got worse. Like, I think COVID hit that place pretty hard. Like, a bunch of, like, the places that we, like, used to go to were closed down and just, like, vacant. Like, nothing else had, like, moved back in, you know?
Wow.
It was just, I don't know.
Moving packs of dogs now. You gotta be careful. It's like a Mad Max village. Exactly. You're like, you gotta get inside and dogs come by at night.
The only other place that I've encountered roving packs of dogs was in Thailand. I was with my two Scottish friends, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I'm stupid, but I have zero fear of any dogs. I don't know. I'm just like, I'm bigger than you. I'll just stomp you out.
Yep.
I'll just stomp it to death. I don't know. But we were like walking back from some place to our hotel, and we got accosted by a pack of dogs, and the Scots were very nervous. But I just like yelled at them. I was like, get the fuck out of here, dogs! And I just ran off. And I was like, yeah, I'm not afraid of dogs. Fuck dogs.
Yeah, I think my dogs
could kill you if I told them to.
I think Barley could have when he was younger. I think at this point in time, I could one hand each of them.
There is not a pair of dogs who is more emotionally needy than Sam's dogs. They require being pet basically constantly. I can't imagine them ever attacking anyone. Or they're just literally, they'd have to stop being pet for 10 seconds to murder someone and wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just not afraid of dogs.
I'm just imagining Citra putting up her dukes. Like, full up, pulling up hind legs. And just, like, full across to the jaw, I think she'd get. Okay,
so that's how you think a dog would take somebody out.
The kangaroo jack style.
Oh, whoa. Yeah, yeah, that's not how I think a dog would take somebody out. It's how I think a dog would take you out. My dog would take you out.
Citra would get on all on her hinders and what, punch me in my hip? That dog is tiny.
Well, I would give her a boost.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Of course.
Now it's coming together. Okay. We had one dumbass article, but it's stupid and I don't feel like doing it. So, instead, should we rate these beers?
I feel like we're there.
Okay, great. I guess Zach, why don't you go first?
I will. I read the article really quick. I just saw somebody say barley wines were one of them.
The article was like underrated beers, and some of them were like actual, like somebody said Hitachino Nest, and that's like an actual like specific beer. And then some people were just like barley wines or stouts. Which seems good old lazy.
Stouts. Someone said,
"Yeah, good old underrated stouts."
Who said West Coast IPA? Jesus, it had its time. It had its time. But what I will say is, what I would say is an underrated beer. It's not really a beer so much as it is an alcoholic seltzer smoothie. We're talking Smooge, strawberry banana, 5% ABV. From, I think we established somewhere in Michigan, but I can't remember. Ann Arbor, Michigan, brewed for Trubado, I guess. This is weird. This is weird. I'm glad that I got this. This is a strange thing. It's pretty good. It tastes like drinking a Go-Gurt, but it's a little carbonated.
It's like a Go-Gurt, but to stay.
It's a Stay-Gurt. It's 100% a Stay-Gurt. That's beautiful. You're absolutely right. I mean, I'd recommend this for people who, I guess, are like sick of, they want to get on the Go-Gurt lifestyle without all the like rushing around. Like, it's just too much pressure to be out and about with Go-Gurt. Whereas this has alcohol in it, so you can't actually go anywhere. And I guess if you're like calorie insecure, 240 calories on these bad boys. These things will fuel you for a very strange marathon you might be running or something like that. If you're one of those people, I'd recommend Smooch to you. I did not dislike it. The bubbles are a little not to my liking, so that I'm going to dock some points. I think I got to give this like a 6.3. This actually was not bad. I'm going to drink
higher
the rest
than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to drink another one after this, I think.
You've joined the Smoochment?
I'm part of Smooch Nation.
Smooch Nation.
Smooch Nation, stand up!
LL Smooch J.
Ooh, I'll figure something out, yeah.
It's hard because
you're
going to
be in the Epstein Files if you're a part of that.
Yeah, if you see any emails that say LLSmoochJ@hotmail.com, that may or may not be me.
Oh boy. I didn't have anything nearly as interesting. I had Dab My Box 7% ABV, and it was soy saucy. I don't know what else to tell you. I don't like Box that much because they get mad saucy. And so I'm gonna give this a 4-1, and recommend it to soy sauce beta cucks, I guess. I don't know. Samuel?
I don't know why anyone would want to drink these cuck-ass beers. So, 3? I don't know. Who cares?
Incredible. All right. Well, with a resounding 6-3, Smooge is the big winner of today's episode. Way to go, Smooge.
Congrats.
Well, a lot of ways I feel like I'm the big winner today. I got to see my two good friends. Sam shared a bizarre secret part of his life. and I got to have a delightful smooch. A fantastic night all around.
I'm glad you enjoyed that, because what Sam said is going to keep me up.
It's going to keep me up for several nights, trying to figure out exactly where my man is coming from.
All you got to do is go to bed. I'm so tired.
Okay. Well, Samuel, thanks for being here. I hope you enjoy that sleep, buddy. Zach, I'm glad you enjoyed that smooge. Have fun with the other one you're going to pound after this.
Oh, yeah.
Listener, I don't know. If you want to tell us what crimes you're constantly worried you're going to commit, you can email us at BrewsDayTuesdayPodcast@gmail.com. You can comment on links at BrewsDayTuesday.com. You can blue sky us at BrewsDayTuesday. Don't let us keep it. I will see you next episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Come suck here. Catch all your tears. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. Here comes a shot. Lose all your thoughts. Drink the remedy. Forget about your problems. This one's on me. Fix you for free. Drink the remedy. Forget about everything. This one's on me. Got what you need. And take your medicine. You feel better, friend.
I fixed my status.
What does it say? Smoogin'? Pounding smooge?
I'm gonna leave that up for a while.
Jesus Christ.